This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. We got the whole crew back together again, huh? It's nice to hear. Now we gotta grab the podcast world by the balls and storm ourselves back into the 200s. Enough of this time off bullshit. Let's get after it. And Biscuit, you gotta end the dream, kid. There is no fucking way you're making the scooter look cool. You can throw on a leather, you can ride around with a fucking giraffe on the back. It just ain't gonna happen. And Petey, how the hell did you bring up that shitting on the hanky story again? Don't you embarrass yourself about anything? I mean, Jesus Christ, kid, that story is horrendous. The actuality of that ever going down is just disgusting. But you continue to bring it up and ask people what they would do and how they should react to it. It's crazy to me. And then you forget to mention after our bromance, you slap a big slobbering St. Bernard kiss on my cheek, kid. And I thought singing Brandy was bouncy. I forgot all about the big wet kiss you gave me, brother. Jesus Christ, man, what is going on with you? Figure it out, will you? Later. You don't have to be rich to be my girl.
Pete and Sebastian Show, we are back on track once a week, hanging out. What's going on, Sebastian?
I'm feeling a little lethargic today. It's a Monday, and yesterday, Sunday, we had a brunch here at the house. Lana and I made brunch for my mother.
Was it a big cookout, right, where you were going to show them the recipes from Sicily?
We downsized it from a large Italian feast to a brunch, and I'm going to start right off the bat with giving the listeners a recipe.
All right, Lou, can we get the proper music for Chef Maniscalco?
Chef Maniscalco yesterday basically perfected the French toast.
Wow, really? All right, get your pens out, people. This isn't just a bit, man, really. You want to impress the lady or the husband? Make this French toast, I'm assuming. Let's hear the recipe.
Yeah, well, the French toast, contrary to what anybody else might say, it's all in the bread. Okay? It's all in the bread that you use. Mm-hmm. And I like a bread. It's an egg challah made by sunflower. They sell it at Whole Foods. However, it's very seasonal. Sometimes they have it, sometimes they don't. I'm not sure why, but this is the bread you have to use. I like it because A, it's got that egg in there to begin with, and B, the slices are thick. And I like a thick French toast.
Now, when these professional cooks on TV give a recipe and they make a recommendation for something as specific as that bread, they throw out an alternative like, well, if you can't do that, though, a good old Wonder Bread wheat bread will do fine. Do you have a substitute, or has it got to be this Whole Foods once in a while it's their bread?
Here's my recommendation. If you do not have the challah egg bread,
yeah,
don't make the French toast.
All right, so that's how important this bread is, folks.
Yeah, the bread is essential to the recipe. Take the amount of eggs you're going to need for what you're going to make as far as the French toast and whip them up in a bowl and add a little milk for some consistency. And what I like to do to sweeten it up a little bit is add a dash, maybe two, of some vanilla extract.
Really? All right.
So you get that going. And then I like to put the batter in a large, almost like glass baking pan, something you would maybe bake brownies in.
And the batter is basically just this egg, milk, and a little vanilla extract.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like to put the batter then in this like brownie sheet, so you could kind of soak the bread, maybe three slices at a time. I like to at least keep the bread in there for maybe a minute on each side.
Alrighty.
And then transfer that to the pan on the stove,
So you're hearing this, folks. Soak that bread up with this egg, milk, and vanilla. Soak that shit up. 2 minutes total.
2 minutes total. Throw it on the... I like to use a kind of like a flat frying pan. Grease that with some butter. And then what I like to do while one side is cooking is throw some cinnamon. You gotta like cinnamon. I'm a cinnamon guy. Lightly brush some cinnamon on the one of the sides and then flip it over. Just on one side, I like the cinnamon.
So then the cinnamon will actually hit the frying pan after you put it on.
Yeah.
All right.
And then, and also another thing I like to do, find your favorite syrup. Syrup is crucial to the thing, too. I forgot which one I use, but I like to heat the syrup up on the stove and pour hot syrup when I serve, which is a nice touch.
How long does this bread hit the fryer, and what's the frying pan at? Medium? The skillet?
Yeah, that's one thing that Lana and I had a discussion about, is about the heat. I like to keep that heat on high. And the problem you run into with the heat on high is you start to kind of burn the butter a little bit, and then you get the toast looks like a darker brown. It should look like almost an espresso brown. That's the type of French toast you should have, like,
yes,
espresso brown. Mine had a little darker, which I'm a little upset with. I'd go with a medium heat.
And because you want the outside to be a little crisp, if I'm not mistaken, but you need a little mush on the inside.
Yeah. I don't like it. You got to have a little softer inside on the French toast. That's the way I like it. But, I mean, I got to tell you, I pulled it out for the family, and the family couldn't stop eating it. It was like candy.
Well, I tell you, heating up the syrup, I mean, that's just a class move. That's above and beyond. I mean, I've heated up the syrup once for myself. I don't even treat myself that well. But that is a fantastic touch. I ever go to a place, even a fancy hotel or a nice inn, like I'll go skiing, great breakfast, everything, and then I go to get the syrup, and it's like got a chill to it. I'm like, what was this, in the refrigerator? What the Come on, man.
Yeah.
You came all this way. Now heat up the syrup, too.
Yeah, syrup is... what I like to do, though, with the syrup, I heat it up, and then I put it in a gravy boat. And then I put that on the table so each individual could, you know, put the amount of syrup they want on their French toast. I don't syrup it and then put the stack on the table. I let you do it.
Oh, yeah. I've never even heard of throwing the stack on the table already syruped up.
Yeah, so we had that. I made a frittata, which I've never done before. I made a vegetable frittata, and then Lana took care of a lemon cake that we learned how to make up in the Amalfi Coast. She made that and then trickled it with a little hazelnut and then had some lemonade that she made, some fresh lemonade, and poured that over the cake. And then the cake kind of soaks up the lemon.
Holy shit.
And then Black Forest bacon, which I highly recommend. We did some Black Forest bacon in the oven. And then to top it off, when everybody arrived, we made frozen bellinis made out of fresh peach, some peach schnapps, and some Italian prosecco.
Wow.
And I got to tell you, man, it, from front to back, the brunch was fabulous.
See, I like this move. I like going away someplace, taking in the culture, bringing it back, and sharing it with family.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's all about. That's what travel is all about. You go to these places, and not only do you have a good time while you're there, it's you bring the good time back to family and friends, and that's why I really promote travel for people. I mean, Lana traveled a lot when she was younger, and I highly recommend it for people out there just to get yourself a different look at how other people live and other cultures live, and then try and incorporate in your daily life. Highly recommend it.
This is the twist. This is the twist for the travel show that they don't have, man. It's half the show is going someplace, and then the second half is coming home and entertaining your family with what you learn. Jackie went to South Africa once, came back with a damn hookah, You know, those pipes they smoke out of?
Yeah.
With like three different tubes so you could share. I haven't used it since she brought it home. I'm inspired now, man. I got to try this thing.
Yeah, well, do a South African theme night. Get the hookah out on the at the porch and enjoy yourselves.
We'll smoke the hookah and talk about the Blade Runner's murder trial.
Who's the Blade Runner?
He's that fucking guy from South Africa who's on
trial. Oh, Blade guy. Yeah.
I saw him on TV yesterday, a clip of him running. You know, it was a whole big thing. It was Sunday morning about how what a big star he was. I got to tell you, man, I'm watching him win that race, like fastest guy on the planet or something. And if I came in second, I would comfortably think I'm the fastest guy on the planet without a fucking blade. I mean, it's total cheating. I'm sorry. It's fucking million-dollar Steve Austin shit going on there, you know?
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster.
Away. And again, Pistorius out very slow. Outside of him, Singleton from the United States came through well. Pistorius is going to have to do something brilliant. Inside him, Shirley goes down. Here comes Pistorius. He'll still win it. He'll still win it in 11.18. He was a mile behind and beat Singleton in the last 10 metres. Shirley went to the deck. What a performance from Oscar Pistorius. You wouldn't have put a dollar on him at the 50 metre mark. But he's run like $1 million.
Oh, I don't know if it's cheating. I mean, you gotta learn to run with these blades. What, you'd rather have no feet?
Hey, I'm glad that he was able to get a blade and bounce back in life and be active. Absolutely. But when it comes to world record for the fastest man, I mean, it goes, I think the man should have to have two legs. You win with a blade as a leg, there's an asterisk. No? How could you see it? If you came in second, wouldn't you be like, come on, man. The guy was barely breaking fucking 440s before he had the blade. Now he has the blade and he's a goddamn deer.
When he had legs, was his time slower?
No, I think he was a kid. I think he had the blade since he was a kid. But I'm just saying, man. I know my friends. If I came in second, they'd be like, dude, you really can't be first. So. This guy I adore, I've been dealing with lately. Yeah, we've been working on something. I mean, great guy. My only thing is, as sweet as this guy is, and keep in mind, married, beautiful wife, all that jazz, which is why I'm setting this up. Sometimes, like the other day, I texted him saying, hey, I'll catch up with you Monday, blah, blah, blah. And he texts back, XO.
What?
I don't know how I feel about that. Is that a generic thing? Can a man use that to a man?
Doesn't that mean love?
I mean, I just kind of thought it meant all that, right? Hugs, kisses, love. Could it mean like, hey, man, much love, brother?
I got to find out what XO means. I got to Google this. Oh, it means hugs and kisses.
All right. Now, what I got to do, I guess, is text him back the definition of XO.
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Neither do I, man. Just thought I'd run it by you.
Everything okay there?
What? Oh, yeah, fine. Yeah, this is my Peter. Friend, Peter, we just ran into each other here at the intersectional. Homosexual. Intersection. I gotta go.
This lends itself to what you always talk about with people with jobs, and does anybody value a job? This is unbelievable. This weekend, this Sunday, we had my family over and we're going to barbecue up some chickens and we made homemade cornbread, literally carving the corn right off the stalk or whatever Jackie did off the cob, I mean. Great meal. So I got to go get a couple of chickens. I go to our supermarket, Tops, which I love. They're out of chickens. Apparently, this weekend, first weekend of August, was the biggest barbecue weekend. So now I got to go to Walmart's supermarket to get my chickens.
Yeah.
Which, whatever, you know. I go in. I go up to the section, right? Now, I grab a couple chickens. The guy in the apron loading the chickens onto the goddamn shelf. I look at him and I go, are the guts still in this or are these cleaned out? Because I couldn't tell by the package. He does one of these. And he grabs it. Don't you hate when you ask somebody a question in a store and they grab the product to read it? Like, I haven't already done that?
Yeah.
Like, I thought maybe you'd know something beyond what the box says, dude.
Yeah.
So he's looking. I go, yeah, it's not on there. And he goes, I would think it's clean. I can call somebody. And that's the thing. Everybody can call somebody. Nobody knows shit, right? So, all right, you're going to call somebody. In the meantime, I go, how about a baking pan? I want to put these on the barbecue and I want them to drip. Yeah, oh, man. I can call someone about that, too. A lady leans over and goes, that's an aisle 11, blah, blah, blah. She goes, sadly, I'm here all the time. I know where everything is, right? And I go, you know what, dude? I think it's clean. Forget it. Don't worry about the chicken. I tell the lady, thank you. I start walking to where the baking pans are. Now, there's a kid, maybe 25 years old, in front of me who works for Walmart, all right? I'm carrying a daughter. I can't walk as fast as I want to because this guy is strolling and he's in my way. Shouldn't the employees at Walmart be always walking faster than the customer?
You would think so. I mean, you have to walk at work pace.
Right. You're not strolling through a park feeding the pigeons, bro. Fake it. Move your ass.
Well, no. People are there. Basically, what it is, if they walk faster than what they're walking, they're going to have to work more. So what they do in between destinations, it's like a Sunday stroll so they don't have to work as much. That's what they're doing.
I'm telling you, man, I think Walmart is and Home Depot in a different way, but they're sort of these social programs, if you will. Like, we're not really going to just give you money. So just come to this fucking building and roam around and we'll pay you $11 an hour. How's that sound?
Yeah, you know? It's like a charity.
Yeah, and with Home Depot, it's for the old timers more. Listen, we know you're bored. You want to get out of the house. Like, come here, sell a few fucking lawnmowers twice a week. You know what I mean?
So I want to get back to the woman who shops there so much that she knows the aisle numbers.
Yes.
Okay, I go to the grocery store, and I've been going to the same one probably, I don't know, 10 years. If somebody asked me where the water was, what aisle, number, I wouldn't be able to say the number, would you?
No, I wouldn't be able to say the number, but when I asked where the tray was, I saw her lean over. It was almost like she lit up. She was almost excited to be able to tell me.
Oh, God.
And here's the kicker. We were in the supermarket section. She goes, I know, the tins you want, you have to go all the way over to the other part of Walmart, to the houseware section by the blenders and by the food processors in aisle 13, and they'll be down on the left. Now, two things. One, holy shit, lady, why aren't you working here? And two, what the fuck aren't the cooking pins in the supermarket? Why are they in the regular store?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. So now I'm walking through the regular Walmart past sporting goods and electronics with two raw chickens in my hand, right, which is disgusting, and a big bag. I get the tin. I go up to the counter. Some girl there chomping on a gum working the counter. I go, you want me to take these chickens out of this bag so you can? And she goes, no, I can read them through the bag. I go, you sure? No, I can read them. I give her the chickens. She lays them on the table, which I was trying to avoid. There's like chicken juice getting on the fucking conveyor belt.
Oh, man.
She swipes one chicken. It reads. She swipes that same chicken again. I'm like, oh, my God. She thinks they're the same size. You know, she doesn't even know that chickens, you know, in this case. But whatever. I don't give a shit. It's 12, 15 cent different. She rings me out. I walk away. I'm literally 4 feet away. I look at the receipt. I turn back. I go, excuse me. You charged me for 4 chickens. I got 2 chickens. Oh, you got 2 chickens? I thought you got 4. I go, no, there's only 2 chickens here. Oh, okay. Well, hold on. I have to finish ringing this person out, right? Now she's ringing some dude out who's buying, like, swimming stuff, and I'm holding 2 raw chickens waiting to get my money back. Then she calls over. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Then she calls over the other girl from the other register because she doesn't know how to do this. She comes over. They talk it out for about 5 to 7 minutes, and then they go, yeah, you got to go to customer service. I got to go to customer service with 2 fucking raw chickens? How embarrassing. I grab my receipt out of hand. I go, you got to be kidding me.
Come on, man.
I recorded it. I'll have Lou play it after this segment. I don't know if it comes out clear. Nobody values a fucking job. And the embarrassing part of all this is I'm walking around the store like a yo-yo with dripping chickens, man.
Well, I mean, listen, man. When you go into Walmart, you have to expect that you're going to get this type of service, man.
I mean, come on. You can't. And Jackie goes, if I were you, I would have just stood right at that register and said, no, you get the chickens fit. You correct it. And I go, I couldn't. There was like 6 people online and they were like looking at me like, just take that shit somewhere else.
God, yeah, I don't know why that's another person's responsibility. If the person rings it up and it comes out wrong, you should be able to bypass any line and get that straightened out right away. I mean, why do you got to go to another area to get a refund?
Can't you just have full reign of your own register?
No, it's a lack of professionalism, too. It's even the way the employees are behaving. Like you said, chomping on gum. When I used to work at whether it be Fuddruckers, Olin Mills Portrait Studio, I mean, the list goes on and on. Retail, I used to work at Merry-Go-Round. One of the first things they said upon getting hired is, we don't chew gum here. Right?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Isn't gum in a professional setting working with customers just a no-brainer that we don't do that here?
Dude, it all goes part and parcel with even when you were working at Fuddruckers, wasn't there a part of you just going, man, I can't believe I got a fucking job. Nice.
Yeah, I'm proud that I was, you know, when I got my paycheck, I looked at it and go, wow, look at what I did this week.
Yeah, I mean, these people, they just can't wait to get out of there.
No.
I saw a lady at Walmart who works there. She's sitting on a bench inside the Walmart, and she's eating a Subway sub from the Subway, and she's clearly on her lunch break, all right? Now, Jackie, I'm waiting for Jackie to get rung out, and I'm sitting there on the bench by the woman, and she's with another coworker. She takes one last bite, throws her wrapper out, right? She gets up. She walks 5 feet, looks at a watch, turns to a friend and goes, I have 3 more minutes. And she comes and she sits back on the fucking bench.
Oh, God.
Oh, you God. Get those 3 minutes. You get those.
Yeah. No, like they got to suck every minute out of the company.
Oh, man.
God.
I recorded it. I got 2 chickens. They charged me for 3, and they said I have to come to customer service to fix this. The yes. Chickens.
Yeah, most of the cashiers don't know how to do.
They don't know how to do much.
I'm gonna take off 2 of the chickens because she rang you up 3 of the same chicken, and this one's a different price. Okay.
Half pound of salami, half pound of Swiss, half pound of Virginia ham, 2 celery. Oh, I think these are on special.
Doesn't matter. Sorry, really.
Let me check. Are these Kotex maxi pads on special?
Never mind, Derek. Sorry, forget it.
Kotex, 19 cents off.
Thanks, sir.
Who wants to speak to me? Yes. I don't think anyone's hearing me, so.
Why is it I bought 2 chickens and they rang it up wrong? Why do I have to come all the way over here and wait for a guy returning electronics to get the chicken fixed? How can a cashier not do that? They don't even know where anything is in the store. This place is falling apart, and if you're one of the people behind it, I gotta tell you, it's an absolute train wreck. Well, then why am I talking to you? Why am I talking to you? Because you call a manager and you don't get a manager.
You don't think it's a little absurd? They should have been in and out, and it's a half hour later to return chicken because it was rang up wrong?
And they'll go back and see your credit card, okay?
Yeah.
Really sorry, we held you up here.
It's a real smooth operation you guys got. Say that much.
were never in aisle 7. I'm telling.
When you and Lana lay at night, when you like watching TV or you go to bed, right? I would imagine from time to time you throw your arm around her, cuddle as you go to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay. Now, and I would also imagine you guys have permanent sides of the bed.
Yeah.
All right, same with us. Now, I like to sleep on my left side. So does Jackie. Now, unfortunately, when we lay like that, that means Jackie's... My back is to Jackie's front, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, last night, we're laying in bed, and I go, let me hop on the other side of you. I want to put my arm around you. And she goes, no, because you're going to fall asleep, and then when you wake up, you're going to have to climb over me. And then she goes, let me just put my arm around you. And I go, no. And then she goes, come on. And I lay there, and she goes, come closer. Now, she wants me to back in to her chest so she can put her arm around me. Now, I go, I can't back up. And she goes, well, I'm not coming forward. I go, guy, I can't fucking back up into your chest. And she's like, well, I'm not coming forward. So I guess, I go, I guess not. I'll tell you what, though. I'm bringing this up on the podcast tomorrow. That's a little asking too much, right? What am I? What am I, right? Am I the lady? Let me get in the, I'll just back in. You put your arm around.
So now, she's going to snuggle you from your back?
Yeah, yeah, she's gonna, the same way a man would put his chest into a woman's back and put the arm around her, she wants to do that to me because we both sleep lefty, and that's the way it would make most sense. Do you ever let Lana do that to you?
I have to say, if she's gonna snuggle up to me, I'm on my back, and then she's kind of cradled into my chest, but if... Yeah, I always cradle her from behind. She never does a cradle from behind on me. That just doesn't work for me.
She doesn't hold you?
No, I'm always holding her in that way.
Well, once in a while, Jackie's put her arm around me, and it's kind of like, I dig it. I don't really do anything. I lay the way I am as a man. It's just a woman wants to put her arm around a man. But now... You're asking me to back into your chest. I can't do that. That's taking it too far.
Yeah, no, that's a little bit too much to ask. Does the same rules apply when you guys travel? Do you take the same sides of the bed?
No, she always just takes the farthest one from the door in case there's a break-in. You know that rule.
Yeah, I've never heard anybody break it into a hotel room.
I know, but imagine it did happen and I got killed and it gave her enough time to get away. She would go, God damn, the fucking, it worked.
Well, what is the guy going to do? Come in and go, oh, wait a minute. Wait, she's way too far to kill.
No, he comes in, he hits me with an axe, but he hits me so hard, I'm dead, but the axe is stuck. As he's trying to pull the goddamn axe out, she runs around and gets out. That's the idea.
I like how you've given the guy an axe as his murder weapon.
Well, I mean, if it's a gun, all bets are off. Boom, yeah. Boom, you know? But if it's an axe and he gets me first, you got a fighting chance if you're in the other side.
I don't know who's walking through a hotel hallway with an axe.
Oh, you'd be surprised some of the places I've stayed. Someone told me it's all happening at the zoo. I went to the zoo, too, this weekend, the Erie Zoo in Pennsylvania. The kids and the parents, it's unbelievable how, like, you round the bend and there's an orangutan, all right? And you can see the orangutan from one side, or you can go around the wall and see the orangutan from the other side. So let's say the orangutan moves and he's right by one side. All the parents rush over there. Just trying so hard to give their child the best fucking... Come over here! My son has the best view! He has the best view of the orangutan! No one has a better...
God.
Oh, and they fight for these bullshit little things, man.
Oh, God. Now, watching this, you're getting upset, right?
I'm getting so... It's just making me... It's cutting in front of you. Yeah, it's making me upset.
Okay, now, is Jackie on board with this, or are you alone on an island?
No, she was even worse than me with, like, she's like, I can't take this, man. I mean, I can't take this. These people are just out of control trying to get the perfect this and the perfect that. And, you know, you go to get something to eat and there's a lady guarding the table for a family. That lady, I'll be done eating my fucking pretzel by the time your husband's off that line. What are you guarding?
Oh, she's doing like the save move?
Yeah, yeah. And they're looking around. Hurry up, hurry up. I have it. I have one in the shade. I have one in the shade.
Don't you hate people where if you're sitting down and they're looking at you and you're almost done and you know they want your table, but they're like hovering?
Oh, God. I stay
longer.
You know
what I tell Lana, we're sitting here for another half an hour.
Oh, absolutely, man. Just hovering.
Yeah, and then and sometimes they'll even come up to you and go, are you guys almost finished? Uh-huh. You know what? Don't matter. I'm finished when I'm done.
Yeah, when I get up and I walk away, that's when I'm done.
That's when I'm done. Now back off the table.
God,
take a walk!
You know, man, it's a cute little zoo, but it's like they got a giraffe, an orangutan, a cougar, and a rhino, and then they just sprinkle goats all around. Every time you round the bend, there's more. Oh, here's another thing. They had an area which was kind of cool. You go in, and it's all kangaroos, like 10 of them. But they're all around you, and they just walk among you. And you can just walk up and pet them. And they're just out there, wherever you want. And at one point, there's a kangaroo in front of us. And the kangaroo only has one arm. I guess this is a place where they rehabilitate kangaroos or something. And I got the kid, a boy next to me, going, the kangaroo only has one arm. It only has one arm because it was in an accident, you see, so it only has one arm. That's why something happened, and I'm sitting there going, don't you have a dad to bounce this boring shit off of? Like I got to listen, and I'm sitting there going, I know, it only has one arm. And that's the exhausting part I hadn't anticipated. Once you are out and about with your child, is you're with everybody's kid, man. So you just got to roll with it.
Yeah, you got to have some patience for that, man. I'm surprised. You're the type of guy that doesn't strike me as having patience for that type of stuff.
All I ask from your kid, all I ask is just have him or her be clean. That's it. I can take snotty. I can take crying. Just once your kid's dirty, I'm like, look at this fucking thing. And I feel bad because it's not the kid's fault, but I can't help it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it might be the kid's fault.
You think if a kid's 4 and his feet are dirty and his mother didn't wipe his face after lunch and there's dirt on his hands, you think he should know at that point to look at his mom and go, can I get a fucking napkin?
No, I think at 4, you should be able to look at your feet and go, Ma, can you give me a rag? You know? I mean, don't you teach your kid, you know, your feet shouldn't be dirty, your fingernails shouldn't be dirty. That's what I can't stand, kids with dirty fingernails. What is that?
Oh, God.
God, does that bother me. And another thing that bothers me, boogers in the nose in kids. And again, I don't have a kid, and I don't know if this is common, but is that like, what is that?
Yeah, we got the, you got the suction thing, man. We have different things that you use to suck that out. One, when I did that wedding, that guy and his wife Jenna, when I performed there, they gave me a gift basket, and one of the gifts in there was this thing that you stick in your child's nose, and it's a straw, and you suck, and the booger comes out, but something stops it so it doesn't go in your mouth.
Yeah, that's my sister's got something like that, and I was like, "What the fuck? What are you doing?" She goes, "That's just how you get the drainage out of their nose." I'm like, and it don't go in your mouth. What's stopping it? And it could that break?
We're doing it for you. So when the kid's out, you don't. That's the problem. You see a kid with snot right away, Amelia. You're judging the kid. You're judging the kid.
I'm judging the whole family. What I'm saying is, if you are going to bring your kid over to, say, you know, someone's house for a barbecue, you have to give that kid a cleaning or some type of, I could see, okay, around the house, kid's got some boogers, who's looking? But and then you go out and you're going to show your kid to people, I have to think you have to clean the nose out, no?
Oh, absolutely, man. I love my daughter to death. Sometimes in the morning I see a booger and I love her a little less till I get that shit out. telling you. And then on the flip side, you know, you walk by and you see a couple of dads and they're dressed kind of cool and the kids on their shoulders and yeah, the party is like, all right, that kid's in good hands. That kid's in good hands.
Now, you could tell the kids that are in good hands just the way that the parents are behaving towards the kid.
Now, lastly, with the zoo, I don't know. How do you feel about this move when you pay one price to get into the zoo, which was $8 a head, kid gets in free. Then they got a train that goes around the whole zoo. Another $2 for the train. Then they got a merry-go-round. Another $3 to ride the merry-go-round. What happened to just all-in-one, man? What happened to all-in-one? Pay one price, go on everything.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm not into a la carte. I like you pay. Just charge $28 at the door and give me free reign of the park.
Yeah, but we're all going on the train, so just jack us for $2 at the goddamn thing at the gate, and let's do that.
Yeah, do they have like a VIP section where you could pay a little extra money and skip the lines?
No, man, it was only like, shit. We got there in the middle of the day on Saturday, and my ticket said I was number 134 in the whole zoo.
Jeez.
Yeah. You think those animals like it? I mean, I feel like they had hyenas. Wild dogs, and they're laying in the shade, and those things are always struggling to get food out in the wild. So I think they're chilling. You know, the rhino seems cool, but then some of the monkeys just seem fucking miserable.
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta think those animals are going, what are we doing? Like, does the hyena even laugh when he's at the zoo, or is he just quiet?
Oh, he only moves. There was three of them, and they would only move to get a fly off their neck or off their hands. Yeah, that's it, man. Now, and I'm watching the orangutan, and it's just sitting there. It's just sitting there. It looks like it's waiting for a bus. It looks so bored. Seriously, you ever see in L.A. people waiting for a bus? And not losers, people that, for whatever reason, don't have a license, maybe they lost it, and they just look fucking miserable.
Yeah.
That's how the orangutan looks. And the sign says the orangutan shares 97% of the same DNA as a human being. So you're basically telling me the thing is almost human, and then I'm sitting there staring at it on a fake rock, and it had a sheet. It had a pink sheet stuck to its toe. So whenever it would run around, the sheet was coming, and all the kids were like, the sheet is stuck to its toe. And it's just, I don't know, man. It's a little sad, bro. I mean, I never felt that way until I got to be an adult. It's a little sad.
Well, were you impressed with the amount of activity at the zoo as far as were the animals, you know, lively a little bit, where they gave you a little show? Like, I always thought, like, I'd like to see, like, the animal, how it eats and maybe how it kind of lives in the wild. So if, I don't know, if there was, a jaguar in there and they like to eat, like, rabbits, I wouldn't mind, like, them throwing in a rabbit and you see the guy kill the rabbit, right?
That would be hot, man. Come at 1 o'clock for the rabbit killing.
Yeah!
Yeah!
I want real-life action, and do you think the parents, if they threw a rabbit in there and the thing mauled the rabbit, they would be going, Jimmy, come over here. Look, he's eating the rabbit. Or do you think they'd be like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I think you'd have half and half. I mean, no, I don't think you want any kid to see the rabbit. But I think a lot of parents would go, keep the kids over there. I'll be right back, Patty. I'll be right back. No, they're bringing out the rabbit.
So all of a sudden it becomes an adult zoo.
Yeah, certain parts. What I want to know is, like, there's birds, you know, flying around from the real world, you know, just landing in the zoo area. I wonder if these birds are looking at those animals like, you motherfuckers are locked up, motherfucker.
Yeah, they could come in and out as they please.
Yeah, they're coming back with stories and shit. You don't even know what's going on out there.
Oh, man. So, or do you think the animals are looking at the birds going, how come they don't catch them?
You know, you see the giraffe, man. Do you think the giraffe is aware of, like, Like, you know, when you were on a show before, you were just headlining on your own, but you were already great. You were on shows where you're like, I am the fucking anchor of this bitch. Yeah, you, to yourself, you're thinking that.
Yeah.
You think the giraffe is aware of that? Like, it's like, other than the rhino, I'm all you got, bitch.
Yeah, he's got to think that. I'm thinking, how do they get the giraffe there? What type of shipping is involved in that?
I think it's got to get a good deal. They had to have gotten a good deal because this is a small zoo. And I was saying to Jackie, do you think when they get, like, when they talk about the zoo, the owners are like, well, we got the rhino, we got the giraffe, thank fucking God.
No, but I'm saying, how does the giraffe get to the zoo? How do they transport it?
That's a good question. It was probably born in the States. Maybe they transfer it before it's tall. I mean, seriously, right? Maybe they're like, you know, just get them where you're going to get them, because once they hit 10 feet, that's it.
Yeah, we can't move them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a wild animal, man. That is something else to see. Went to the beach, and it's like once a year, Jackie's got to swim beyond the buoy, and then the lifeguard blows the whistle.
Oh, God.
And waves her in, and then she said she didn't see the lady, and the lady just finally gave up. Now I'm at the shore yelling to Jackie, she's waving you in. She's waving you in. Jackie's like, everyone else is swimming out here. I go, because they're on boats, jumping off boats. You came into the beach. You got a stamp. You're her responsibility. You can't go past the buoys. But she used to be a lifeguard, so she's always got... Why do people got to go out far? I don't get that.
Oh, I don't do that. I see those buoys to me are like... I feel after you go past that, you could be eaten by a shark.
Yeah, I feel like right beyond the buoy, there's a shark with a bib on and a fork and knife.
He's eating his way right through that line.
Yeah, he's working his way right up to us. Quinn!
Here, come on, Quinn!
Come on!
Hurry!
Me and Lana are doing this new thing for food. It's a food service where they deliver food to the house every day. You get a breakfast, lunch, and a dinner, and then a snack and a dessert. And this way you don't have to worry about, you know, what you're going to eat. I don't know if you and Jackie go through this back and forth of what are we going to have or where are we going to go. But Lana and I, it's a debate every time. You know, what are we doing for dinner tonight? This way, boom, you just go in the kitchen, you grab it, you eat it, and you're done with it.
And it's probably like food that goes along the line of some sort of, you know, within your health regime, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, you could pick certain diets. You know, you could do a gluten-free, you could do a, you know, weight loss or whatever your dietary restrictions are, they'll kind of tailor to what you want. So it's more out of convenience than anything else. And to be honest with you, it's less expensive than what we do because we're constantly going out to eat. Constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do they come three times a day or do they come in the morning?
Once a day. They leave it at night. They actually come at night. They leave it on the porch. It's in, you know, the bags that are self-contained with ice packs, so it's fresh, and the food's fantastic. I mean, listen, I've never done this before, but I'm like, I gotta tell you, the food is pretty damn good.
I tell you, man, you guys, this is interesting. If you totaled up, right, all the, you know, the lawn guy to this guy to that guy, what if you, well, you don't have it because you only have one place, but I wish you had a bungalow aside on that property where you can hire one guy, and he's the cook, he's the pool guy, he wakes up and he does all of it, man.
I would love to get a handyman.
Yeah, even a guy, you can have a martini and go out there and, hey, Hank, how's your day going? The lawn looks great.
Yeah, no, I would love that idea, man. It sounds great.
Because you just got, now you got another guy, you got everybody coming, the food guy's running into the bushes guy, running into the, yeah. So,
yeah, there's just a lot of people wandering around the house.
Well, so, that sounds good, man. That,
yeah,
sounds,
no, we're doing that 5 days, we're trying it out, and I got my network pitches this week. We're doing the pitches to the network.
Nice, man. Again. So you obviously got your showrunner. You picked one.
Yeah, had him for a while, and now we're finally at the point where we're going to go and pitch the show. So I got one tonight at 5 o'clock, two tomorrow, one on Wednesday, and then Thursday, boom, I'm gone. And I'm going to give another recommendation while we're at it.
Yeah.
I just got this, and for those who do a lot of traveling, I'm going to recommend a credit card here. It's the American Express Business Platinum Card. They also have a personal card you could use. But are you into benefits on the credit cards?
Yeah, points. I get my points.
This is something a little bit different than points. They not only give you points here, but you get a lot of deals when it comes to like hotel stays. I'll give you an example. This particular card, if you stay at one of their sponsored hotels, if you stay three nights, you get the third night free. If you book an airfare ticket on this card, you don't have to pay the change fee if you're going to change the flight. Another one is if you fly international and you want to buy a business class ticket international, you get the second one free.
Well, how much is the card?
$500 a year.
Wow, that change fee thing is huge. So I got a flight on any airline, and I got to change it as long as I booked it with that credit card.
Yeah.
But the difference in the airfare I have to cover, but the $150 change
fee.
Yeah,
the change fee they waive. You spend $75 at Whole Foods, you get $10 back. I mean, stuff like this. The card is just, and I'm finding out different benefits every day, man. So I'm plugging the Business American Express Platinum Card. Yeah, it is a little steep, $500 a month or $500 a year. But if you do a lot of travel, like Pete and I do, highly recommend it for your travels.
Don't leave home without it.
All right, there you go, Sebastian. And,
yeah, I mean, we just need sponsors at this point.
They'll be coming. They'll be coming. Now, you ready for your pitch? I'm not asking you to tell me the idea, but is it different than the last one?
It's different but similar. I mean, to be honest with you, it's me, so I'm not changing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like all of a sudden now I'm a zookeeper and a guy who loves people. It's still the same premise, but the storyline's different, the relationships are different, and the writer's different. And it's all in the writing. And this guy, not that the other guy was bad, but this guy really seems to really understand where I'm coming from.
Nice, man.
Yeah, he's a younger guy, and he's the only writer I ever met that actually gives me jokes for stand-up.
Oh, shit, that's a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll give him a premise, he'll come back with about a page and a half of jokes.
That's cool, man. So he also helps you with some stand-up stuff.
Yeah, like, he'll really tag some stuff, and he's really good. He's really talented. He's young. He's 34 years old. He's married. Just recently had twins. And you know how it is. We were talking about this before. Like, you meet a writer, in the past, it seems like you just went with a guy because that was the best available guy that you met. And then you try and make it work. And you see what happens. With this guy, I met him 4 years ago, and he actually got a job writing on a show, so we couldn't work together, but I still kept in touch with him. And we not only developed a professional relationship, but like a personal relationship, which I never had with a writer. I never asked a guy that I was writing a show with to come on over to watch the game on Sunday.
Yeah, that's huge, though, yeah, man.
So we get along not only professionally, but socially, and it just seems to be a good fit. But you never know. We'll see what happens this week. Other than that, I'm excited to get back up on stage and eat my meals during the week. There you have it, people. Thanks for listening again to the show. Spread the word through your social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it might be. All right, man.
Good hanging.
Take
good
care.
Luck. Good luck, bro. Thank Break
you.
A leg.
Thank you. Thank you.
Later.
Bye.
The show has ended.
Don't you have a dad to bounce this boring shit off of?
James Taylor, thank you.